his team. Do your job and hold his mic for a minute. What is so funny about someone actually dropping a dog on his head? What's wrong with that?
Funny?
It's not funny.
Wait, but you don't understand.
You know what? This guy caught me at the wrong time.
No, you don't understand.
Wait.
Take it back.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Yo, you don't understand.
I swear to God, if you ever look our way, smirk or anything, you think
the minute we come in this building, you go the other way. Guys, money. Guys, I promise. Yo, you want money? I'll give you guys anything.
Give me your money.
Yo.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, come on, Earl. That's not fair. Oh, he's attacking John Tony. Oh, he hit him. They hit him with the cannoli tray. He's laid out. Without Grim Reaper here, what are they going to do? Oh, heartless. Oh, my God. Handcuffs by Tony. Tony Lo has them. Tony Lo and Joe So Delicia. They handcuffed on Tony and Grim Reaper. There's nothing they can do. Grim Reaper's gone. Come on, just stop. Stop this.
Before we get to anything else,
oh, Joe So Delicia.
Like every Monday night, you are checking out Breakfast Super Raw. Bon appetit, as Don, Tony, and Mish dish out their opinions about the world of pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Super Raw. And now, your host, Mish and Don Tony.
Hi, everybody. Did you like my debut? Oh, everybody out there that said that I was working my ass off in the ring and I was passionate and taking my Raw re-debut very seriously. Did you all like it? Did you like the suspense waiting for me to come out? Did it sound like this? Anyway, it is Breakfast Soup Raw for Monday night, June 14, 2021. I am Eva Marie. Join along with...
Eva Marie.
We've been telling you for about 6 weeks plus that this was going to be a troll job. And Mish, for the last 2 weeks especially, Eva Marie's not taking a bump. Someone is going to... This is a troll job. I'm sitting back and watching people talk about, oh, man, she's really putting it all in. Nah, man, I'm telling you this. Nah, man, this, and that. Nah, man, she's going to kick ass. And then, you know, over the weekend, no, Mercedes Martinez is going to... She's going to... Her debut tonight.
I enjoyed it.
I loved it. Piper Nevin.
We knew it was going to be a troll job. We had the feeling that WWE was not going to revert to bringing Eva Marie in the ring immediately. I still have the feeling that this is going to go on for a while. And I love it. It's kind of like when there was two doinks in the middle of the ring.
Look, I even joked. I joked on Twitter tonight. They should call her Eva Marie.
That's her name.
Yeah, well.
It's no longer Piper Nevin. It's no longer Viper. Her name is Eva Marie. Eva Marie, the original, said so in her promo after the win.
Right. Your winner, Eva Marie.
Two Eva Maries. Two doinks. I almost feel like pulling up that Kona Crush promo that he did. Not one doink, but two doinks. Two doinks.
Oh, man. All you goofs out there. Oh, that didn't work all that well. That was an epic fail. Seriously, man. You know, and you know, it revealed something tonight. I don't know if you noticed it, but a lot of people, very embarrassed, a lot of tweet and deletes tonight. You had a lot of podcasters who were like, who is she coming out with? And I'm saying to myself, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Bar Wrestling, NXT UK for the last 3 years, World of Sport, the Mae Young Classic. These people that claim they cover all this stuff and they have no idea what Piper Nevin looks like. I know Naveen, I say Nevin. It's just exposed a lot of people tonight. And I brought that up in the past. You know, I'll never forget when Lars debuted on the main roster and he hit a couple of his moves. And I'm watching people who do shows and write on websites saying, wow, he's actually got a lot of agility. I'm kind of impressed with his finisherness. And I'm like, wait a minute. You haven't seen him wrestle in NXT for the last bunch of years? You claim you watch NXT on a regular... It was amazing to see how many people... And this is another thing, too. And this is the reason, also, why I put her on the screen over here. People that were making fun of her outfit tonight, saying, like, you know, what the fuck was she wearing in the ring? That's how she dresses. That's her outfit. I mean, I don't have the full picture here, but it's pretty much her outfit for years and years and years. There was nothing different today. She came out. She looked the same. She even wears the fishnet a lot in her matches. There was nothing different about her today. No. Why is it that she comes out and squashes Naomi, and that's the worst thing ever to a lot of people, but... You know, in the NXT UK, she's confronted Rhea Ripley and the Mae Young Classics and Santana Garrett and this is the, and same person doing the same thing. And I thought she looked pretty damn good in the ring today.
To be fair, NXT UK doesn't really get as much exposure, but you're right. These people should be very familiar with her work because even before NXT UK, she was around the independents. She's not a new wrestler.
No.
This isn't like her first few months and they decided to put her with Eva Marie. She has a history. So you're kind of right. It's kind of wild that so many people were just completely unfamiliar with her on any level, considering that she's been around for a while. And you're also right in the sense that she wears the same gear. She wears the same costume. There was nothing extravagantly different. It's not like they put a mask on her or something like that. And you know what? For what the debut was, physically in the ring, it was fine. Finished with a Michinoku driver, it was fine. That's her finisher. There was nothing wrong with it at all. And the fact that, look, and can we say something about the original Eva Marie? Since when did she have her abs marbleized? Because, dear God.
I mean, I know.
Seth Rollins is jealous of Eva Marie's abs. I swear, dude.
Look, man, you know what's going to happen now. I mean, you and I have been doing this for too long. We see it a mile away. What's going to happen now is a lot of people's man card has been hurt today. And what they will do is they will divert the attention to Eva Marie's physical attributes. And what they will start saying is, so what? So what? She didn't actually have the match. You know, she's still at ringside and look at her. Look at her. She's hot. I don't know how people just didn't pick up on this. Look, you and I could have ended up being tremendously wrong on this. But for week after week week, you know, we saw the promos and the vignettes. Like playing off that she's an inspiration, like this looks like a troll job. It felt like a troll job. It wasn't on Jericho level. You and I even for 2 weeks talked about when Jericho came back and he was just like, come on, baby. And he wouldn't say a word.
Yeah. You're right. And that's what it was too, is you knew it was almost a troll job because of how much they put into the vignettes. Because if this was somebody returning, like a Becky Lynch, let's say that wasn't Eva Marie. Let's say that that was a Becky Lynch. It would have actually had more weight because Becky Lynch was a performer before she left, an in-ring competitor. She was a former WWE Women's Champion. She had a shit ton of fans. So if they went through this whole thing that they did for Eva Marie, but they put Becky Lynch in it, I think we would have felt differently.
Exactly.
We would have looked at the whole thing differently. But because it was Eva Marie and it wasn't that difficult, and you know what? I really applaud the fuck out of WWE, because one of the weak spots in the company is forgetting where people come from, is forgetting the history of their storylines. This was one of the cases that WWE had a longer memory than most of the people in the audience. There was a lot of people that listened to us, and there's a lot of people that did remember that Eva Marie pretty much didn't wrestle her last time on TV until she was let go. But in this scenario, WWE trolled everybody because they expected everybody to forget. And what did they do, DT? They forgot.
Yeah. Do you think people are mad tonight? Not.
Yeah, because nobody likes getting fooled anymore.
Well, like, that's what I was going
to
say.
There's a lot of people that are going to be butthurt about this. Yeah. Instead of just laughing along, yeah, not taking shit so seriously, not taking wrestling so seriously, you're going to see people that are going to get mad. Or worse yet, what they're going to do is they're just going to fucking drill Piper Niven.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Right. She was not bad tonight, and I feel bad that she's going to get the brunt of criticism because people are not complaining about her work, but they are butt hurt for getting it so wrong. I mean, you and I sat back for 4 or 5 weeks and just watch people like tweet, like finger blasting Eva Marie tweet. I mean, the first night I said, get out the Eva lotion. I mean, people were just investing way too much time and energy on this. And last week you and I didn't mention much of her at all. And people said to me, like, on Wednesday, like, DT, how come you really didn't get into Eva Marie? I said, because we're going to take the wait and see approach. Yeah. Because it felt like a troll job. We talked about it for 5-6 straight weeks that we thought it was a troll job, and WWE trolled.
I'm glad most of the people that listen to us, even the people here live tonight, pretty much were in on it. I think most of the people really got it. And no, I mean, I haven't seen anybody go, fuck them women, they suck. You know, like, I haven't seen any fucking negativity about that shit.
Dude, you know what that voice was just now, right? Here. That was that voice when you did that TNA reaction thing. I'm Ric Flair. I'm woo. Woo. Oh, my God.
Yes.
TNA reaction. It's the real side of wrestling.
I'm happy, though. I really am, because most of the people that I know that I've talked to were all fucking laughing their asses off at this thing tonight. It's a big deal. It really is. I mean, there's been a couple of new debuts and stuff like that and re-debuts lately, and it seems like this is exactly what we expected to happen after WrestleMania. This is what we expected to happen after WrestleMania Backlash. Right now, it's WWE readjusting the roster. Yes, there's been quite a few bus flips, but now we're starting to reintroduce other people. And you know what? I'm okay with it. We had Alexa Bliss actually step into the ring. I forget who said it. I think it might have been, I'm not sure who said it, but 4 months. She's been out of the ring for 4 months. So, you know, I don't know how to think about that match, but it's something, you know.
I just so happened, we talked about the movie The Naked Gun a couple of times in the last couple of months, you and I here. So I watched The Naked Gun again about 6 weeks ago. And when I saw the segment with Alexa Bliss and Reginald today, I honestly thought that, and I'm sorry for doing an outdated reference, everyone, but I think a lot of you out there love that kind of goofy humor. Naked Gun, the original TV series, I mean, but I honestly thought Ricardo Montalban came back from the dead, was sitting in the stands, and pushed the button. And then Reginald, remember with Reggie Jackson and an Naked Gun, he pushed the button and Reginald went, I must kill Shayna, but I have to do my Cirque du Soleil first. Yes. and flip. I must kill. What was that? You know, what, you know what this felt like tonight?
What was OJ's name? What was OJ's name as the agent?
Oh, what the hell was his name? Frank Drebin and the police. Oh, God. Frank Drebin
was Leslie Nielsen.
Naked Gun, everybody. Who was OJ's character again? What was his name?
Nordberg. Yes, thank you.
Oh, for Nordberg.
Yes.
Nordberg. Yes, Nordberg. Yes, thank you. You know what I honestly think they did tonight with Alexa Bliss? Dead serious. I really, really thought about this tonight. By the way, I thought it was drizzling shits. But you know what I honestly thought tonight? For real. Something you and I talked about with the fact that live fans are coming back. And I hope everybody really pays attention to what I'm about to say. Because I really believe this is what happened on Raw tonight with Alexa Bliss. We're getting live fans back in 1 month. Once that happens, everything Alexa Bliss does in the ring is no longer pre-recorded. It's no longer splice and dice and put all these special effects. So you could do backstage stuff still. You could do it, but when it's in the ring, you ain't going to be able to get away with the, you know, coughing up the chocolate milk and all that stuff, the goo. Right. So I think what they tried to do tonight was they tried to have Alexa Bliss still be the, you know, evil Alexa Bliss, and no special effects. But instead tonight, you know, like I said, it's almost like voodoo, like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was, and they were trying to do something different. They used the hypnosis because it's something that they can't do. I don't know if that means that he's under Bliss's spell now. Is that what it is? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Like Bliss has him under her spell. I actually thought, you know what, for a second there, I thought he was gonna smack the shit out of Nia Jax.
But it was just like Nia's like, are you okay?
Like the fucking like the alien from Aliens,
yeah.
When the head explodes.
Yeah, scanners.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go beat the shit out of
him. Oh, my God. When she was going like this, I'm like, okay, this is going to be the last of the special effects. They got to come to an end because we're going to have live fans there, and they're not going to be able to do it. And then what did they do?
Nothing.
They did nothing. Actually, you know what? You could use the same sound effect for this. This is what it was. Alexa Bliss staring at Reginald. Reginald, you okay? Awful. 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 I'm telling you. WWE did no special effects tonight for that reason, to see how this shit looks like on TV, since they can't do that stuff with live fans there, and they, and we don't know their reaction to what they saw, but they are definitely going to pay attention to social media and see how they reacted to the Reginald segment. And I think once they see in droves, like, what the fuck did we just see? And not for nothing. Her match also with Nia Jax was not very good. I mean, I'll give her a little bit of slack, but, you know, I mean, at one point she looked like she was playing Twister. Let me put my leg over my arm here and do this. I mean, it's just, I don't know what you thought about it.
It was not very good as far as matches go. It was pretty bad, actually. But, I mean, what did you expect? Once again, you got Bliss in there with Nia. That match has never been good. I don't think anybody's ever recalled a good Nia versus Bliss match. And the whole setup, too, with, we used to be friends. Don't make that assumption. We were never friends. Dude, this is corny. And look, I know people fucking hate it. I think it's hilarious. But once again, for all the wrong reasons, you know. But I think it's funny as shit.
Yeah.
So, you know who's really turning? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just want to let everyone know. We're going to try something tonight. This is the plan for tonight's live show. We start at 11:05. from 11:05 Eastern to 12:05 Eastern. We're going to talk about Raw, Hell in a Cell, a couple other tidbits. Once we get to 12:05, we'll take calls for about 25 to 30 minutes tops. We want to finish at 90 minutes tonight, see how that format goes. If that format goes well, that might be somewhat of a regular thing on Mondays going forward. We'll talk about Raw and wrestling for an hour, take calls for a half hour, jet out of here. Because the plan is ultimately, not every single week, but ultimately do a show every single day. But they got to be shorter. So, and like Mish told me even before we went live, he's like, dude, you do a show almost every day. If you don't if you don't get some today.
Those people, they don't need 5 hours of audio every night. They're lucky they get 15 minutes of DT. That's what I said.
Thank you, Crazy Cruiserweight. Main event results. Mason T-Bar beat the Lucha House Party. Ricochet beat Drew Gulak. Okay. All right. Mansoor and Ali did not make an appearance today, but it's only 1 week, so hopefully it'll be back next week. But thank you very much, Crazy. Yes, Roger. Everyone out there, we would greatly appreciate it if you would take a moment and hit that like button. You know, I know I only do ask once or twice during the show, but I got people out there on YouTube land that keep trying to instill things to help me with my shows. And they're like, dude, keep pushing it, keep pushing it, keep pushing it. You know, if they it really helps more than you know. And people are now starting to teach me this algorithm shit. So, you know, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. And Roger, my friend, I completely forgot your super chat the other day. Before the show was over, I got to just pull it up. We'll definitely get into it. Somehow I forgot about you on Friday. Soulfly, the storyline was made eventually to make Piper a big star. She will get over. Yeah. It's genius. The Mean Girl storyline. Yeah. Eventually, yeah. Eva Marie is going to probably belittle Piper because of her size or her look. And right. Piper is a talented motherfucker. She is decent in the ring. I don't know why anybody, put it this way, I don't understand why anybody would complain that Piper Nevin made her Raw debut tonight. What would you rather see wrestle, her or Eva Marie?
I don't think people are upset that she made her debut. I think they're upset because they actually expected Eva Marie to be in the ring. And so now they feel like WWE lied to us. WWE is lying to their fans. It's like,
they didn't lie.
Yes, right. Of course. It's their job. Surprise is part of the element of their success. Fucking with people makes good heels. Like, I don't understand. It's like you can't even have proper heels in wrestling anymore because you have to worry about what will the audience feel like? What exactly will the audience think? Who cares? That's the whole point of them being a heel. You're not supposed to like them. Eva Marie came out with a bullshit philanthropy story about how altruistic and a comeback kid kind of story. And what does she do? She comes out to the ring with another girl named Eva Marie who beats the shit out of Naomi in the name of Eva Marie.
Exactly.
Yes, we know it's Piper Nevin. I think most of the people at least recognize that she's been in NXT for a while. So I'm hoping that that's the case. It's just, if there's any butthurt, dude, it's baloney, but you're damn dead right.
Come on.
She's going to look like a million fucking bucks. And when this storyline finally leads up to something, she's going to look great. And the women's roster needs her. Holy shit. I don't want to see, look, and I like Tamina. I love Tamina. There's a warm place in my heart for Tamina. But Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, Tamina, and Natalya is not a storyline I even care about. So bring me some new talent.
Exactly.
If Eva Marie / Piper Nevin is that new talent, bring it in.
Exactly.
We fucking need it. We fucking need new talent on the show.
It's pro wrestling. You know what I mean? You're supposed to get swerved sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I have no problem with it whatsoever. I don't understand why anybody would criticize it. But, Roger, here's your super chat from the other day, my friend. Somehow it did not pop up, but kudos to you. Congrats. Him and his two best friends got some 49ers versus Raiders tickets. And, look, everybody, we don't want to get off topic with wrestling tonight, but it sort of does have to do with wrestling. Tomorrow, even though it hasn't been released yet, tomorrow New York is going to announce that we have hit 70% of New Yorkers who have gotten at least one shot. You had another 15% who already have antibodies from having COVID, and almost all the restrictions are going to be lifted. Except for
You feel bad, though? Don't you feel bad, DT, though? Because now, because you got your shots early like a responsible person, you don't get to get in on the lottery.
I know.
You don't get to get a free steak.
But you want to know something? I'm going to make a little announcement here today.
Yeah, man.
I'm very, very proud. But, you know, Roger with his football tickets. I know some of you were telling me you got tickets for MLW at the old ECW Arena. Some of you got tickets for SummerSlam. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. You know, we're finally getting out of this virus. 1 month from today, it's going to feel so different out there. The only thing I'm praying to God for, not trying to be religious right now, but I pray that this violence that's going around starts to calm down. I think once people start going out, having fun, having a couple of 40s, hanging on the beach or going out with friends and this and that, and stop feeling miserable 24/7, 365, I'm hoping the vibe is contagious. So for all of you out there that are starting to get back to normal, you know, I truly am happy for every one of you out there. And for those that live in other parts of the world that, you know, you're a little bit behind, just keep at it. Keep at it. Because trust me, I think, and I don't mean to criticize New York right now, but I guarantee you that New Yorkers in a lot of ways are more thick-headed than people in other countries. And if we're able to end up having the lowest positivity rate in the country, then anybody could do it if you just put a little dedication to it. So I seriously very happy for all of you out there. Now, I'm not doing this to brag or anything. I have a little dilemma because July 8th, I'm going away for 5 days. July 7th in New York, they're doing a parade, the Canyon of Heroes. That's the road they usually go on when New York teams win their World Series or playoffs, Super Bowl. Yeah. They're doing a parade July 7th, and the parade is going to consist of all nurses, doctors, first responders, bodegas, groceries, you know, anybody that had to work through this pandemic. And they also recognize people went over and beyond. And I got an email from somebody from New York City. I don't know who originally had put the info in. I know a local newspaper wanted to do a story on me doing, offering to book appointments for anybody that wanted. I ended up booking 117 appointments for people for the COVID vaccine. And I know some of you out there that are tuning in live right now, I got you appointments for yourselves, for your moms, your dads. And New York City sent me an invite to be part of this parade. I honestly don't know if I'm going to go because, again, I'm going away Thursday morning. And I don't know if I want to wipe myself out going to a parade in New York City. Honestly, I think sitting on my fat ass booking COVID appointments in the privacy of my own home, as difficult as it was, I don't think that that's, you know what I mean? Like, that should be for people who save people's lives. You know what I mean? Like, booking appointments was pretty rough. Reloading pages for 6 hours for just one, two people. But I got that email today, and you'd best damn believe that I'm going to print it to PDF and post it online. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, so let's get back to a little bit of wrestling. Little bit of all wrestling.
Right. Actually, real quick, when you were talking about taking your vacay real quick,
yeah,
I wanted to try and find out. I don't know who's going to be around, but I saw Rybacker this weekend on Friday at the AAW show, which was pretty cool. I know he usually frequents the chat here and there, but I don't know if other people plan on going to St. Louis for the Empower and for the NWA 73rd anniversary event. But if they are, I'm trying to get a whole bunch of people together. We might do an Airbnb and see how many people we can get up there for the weekend. Okay. For that. Seems like it's a lot of fun. I believe it's, August 28th to the 31st. So it starts on Saturday, which will be the Empower event. 73rd will be on Sunday. Monday, I'm not sure what they're doing, but they have that date kind of mixed in there. And obviously Tuesday is going to be Live Power, so that'll be kind of cool.
Okay. All right. Yeah. If anybody out there is interested, August 28th is my mom's birthday. If my mom ends up going to Florida, then that's a very big, good possibility for me. That's why
I guess. You mean you might show up? You might do the St. Louis thing?
I would seriously consider it. I was ready to go to Chicago for AEW. You know I have my plane ticket in my hotel. I showed you confirmations.
I'm totally doing the St. Louis thing. I mean, Mickie James is booking her own female pay-per-view and stuff like that. And it's the 73rd anniversary, and you got Billy and Nick and everybody else down there. It sounds like it's a good time. It's more my speed. I know probably there's going to be a lot more fans of the show that'll check you out when you go to the AEW event, which I mean, I guess I kind of have to go since it's literally in my back fucking yard. But
speaking of women's wrestling.
Yeah, man.
Did you notice tonight WWE had four women's wrestling matches on one night? Yeah. Four.
Woman-centric tonight. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, if it wasn't for the double Jeff Hardy match and the double, you know, Drew McIntyre and, you know, Omos, AJ. Well, AJ and Drew,
actually. Hardy was good tonight. Yeah, AJ was good tonight. Yeah, you know what? Look, I know Raw's suffer here and there, but tonight, for the most part, was pretty good. It was a pretty good go-home Raw for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, and it also furthered a couple of storylines, which we'll get into in a moment. But Chris Silva posted a question. Thank you for the super chat, Chris. Do we think someone will interfere in Hell in a Cell between Drew and Bobby and cost Drew the match? Too soon for Kofi?
Oh, yeah, but against Drew? I don't know. You know what? They kind of left the breadcrumbs tonight, though, because you had MVP going up to Kofi, and then you had Xavier Woods kind of pop out there. They left the breadcrumbs tonight because MVP was really fucking just driving that point home. Guess who doesn't have a match at Hell in a Cell? You, you know, so if there is a potential for Kofi, and if Kofi doesn't get a match on Friday, I guess, for whatever reason, then yeah, I would almost expect him to be out there at some point. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to do a screw job like on Drew, like where he's going to just smash Drew with a chair or something like that. But you almost have to believe. They haven't been needling. MVP has not been needling Kofi for no fucking reason, right?
Unless Kofi is, part of my language, and I know some people hate when I use this phrase, but every time I say it, I end up being right. It's the pit stop. It's the rest area. Right now, it's the road to SummerSlam. Our show, for 2 months, told everybody that WWE is going to treat SummerSlam as WrestleMania. The major shifts in storylines did not happen after WrestleMania. Once they, and I know I sound like a broken record, but now you're seeing websites reporting that WWE is treating SummerSlam like WrestleMania. Yeah, we've been saying this for 2 months. So what I think could be happening is we do have another pay-per-view between now and SummerSlam, and Kofi may end up being that pit stop before Lashley actually gets to SummerSlam. I don't think Brock Lesnar will show up at Hell in a Cell Sunday. I mean, Lashley is not one to take crazy-ass bumps, so somebody is going to have to get involved somewhere. But I personally think that Kofi may be Bobby Lashley's next opponent before the road to SummerSlam. I don't think it's going to be Lashley versus Kofi at SummerSlam. I mean, that would be an awfully long storyline to build. This doesn't feel like a really long-ass storyline. This almost feels the reincarnation of what MVP was saying to Ricochet, you know, about joining the Hurt Business, or, you know, even, I don't know if he did it to Cedric at the time, but, you know, it just feels like, you know, he's trying to make the divide between Kofi and Xavier. And if you notice, you know, the Father's Day is coming up and they're focusing on Kofi, the family man, and they're really trying to put that out there about Kofi being a father and a family man and this and that to enhance that he's too good of a good guy. So I don't see Kofi making the swerve. I think he will ultimately turn down MVP, and as a result, we'll have Lashley versus Kofi. I think that's where this is going.
Yeah, I can see it.
But I liked the interaction tonight. It's obviously going somewhere. It's obviously, and if you notice, Randy Orton and Riddle, I mean, they pretty much have been focused primarily around the New Day for the last 4 weeks. And you might even remember 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Kofi, you know, focusing on Drew McIntyre and Lashley and stuff like that, I had said that they're going to go back as the New Day and focus back on Riddle and Randy Orton, get through Hell in a Cell, and then you will see it. I think Riddle and Randy Orton may be the next challengers for AJ and Omos. And it's interesting. I don't know if anybody's noticed this. Up until a week ago, it felt like AJ and Omos were baby faces. I mean, even when they were feuding with Elias and Jackson Ryker and a lot of their mannerisms, and AJ and Omos were pretty much perceived baby faces. And last week, WWE took a concerted turn to not do that. And I think that's because of the sudden popularity of RK-Bro. And I think the next feud is going to be Randy Orton and Riddle versus AJ Styles and Omos. I think that's where they're going with this. And then you'll have Kofi eventually feud with Lashley. Where that exit leaves Xavier Woods, that's the question.
They're doing a good job of building up the rapport between Riddle and Randy Orton. I like their camaraderie lately. I like the fact that Randy Orton is super serial all the time. He just he laughs at Riddle, but almost like underneath his breath, like underneath his hand, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a weird relationship that's going on there. And dare I say that Matt Riddle hasn't been as stupid since he's been hooked up with Randy Orton. Like, it's not just wacky comedy character guy. He still does jokey things, but they don't come off as cringy as they did previously when he was with, like, the New Day and stuff like that. And even before, he doesn't come off as, dude, that was my skull.
Yeah.
So he's a lot better now. He's kind of leaned back into the role and turned more into a fanboy than anything.
Yeah.
And I think it's more fun to watch them together. So yeah, they'll make perfect foils against AJ and Omos. I mean, when you think about it, that's four people that are very good at their character right now. And that could be a really entertaining fucking feud. But I almost don't want to see that too soon. I almost hope that they save that for SummerSlam because it feels like it should be a really big blow-off feud.
Yeah. Speaking of nutty, I still haven't changed how I feel about Nikki Cross's current position. Now, for those that don't tune in on a regular basis, you know, I am a big fan of Nikki Cross. We like her. And we're happy that she's now back on TV. But to me, these 3-4 wins in a row are smoke and mirrors. And she is the tool that is needed to further the feud with Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. Mm. She is just a cog in the storyline wheel with Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. I think Nikki Cross, within a couple of weeks, is going to go right back into, getting, I expect her to get squashed by Piper Nevin within 2 to 3 weeks at the most. I like Nikki Cross. I like rooting for her. I like her energy. I like her vibe. I like that she's always still killing it in the training, in the school, trying to improve her ability. But I just look at what I see on TV, and every win has technically an asterisk next to it. Tonight it was a countout. Because Charlotte once again got distracted by Rhea Ripley, which is too fucking old now. And because of that, Nikki Cross wins by countout. All of her wins have some asterisk next to it. And I think those asterisks
but that's what builds an underdog. That's what builds Nikki's career right now, is formula 101 to build an underdog.
To what, though? You're
right. She doesn't deserve the wins. She hasn't been seen as being taken seriously by Rhea or by Charlotte. She is the third wheel. All the more reason that she's eventually going to come out of this thing as the super babyface underdog. And the announcers even proved it tonight. They kept reiterating, nobody gave a shit about Nikki last week. They barely cared about her 2 weeks ago. Now all of a sudden there's people talking about her. Now all of a sudden people want to see Nikki. And that to me was them setting the storyline straight. Because you're right, the feud is still Rhea versus Charlotte, but I think the surprise is going to be Nikki Cross.
Let's see what Nikki Cross's record is for the next four Raws. 1 month from now, we'll see what she did over the next 4 weeks. I am told, look, if that ends up being, I will be extremely happy that I'm wrong.
Makes sense. Once again, this is another case, DT, where WWE needs new people running into the ship.
But
Nikki Cross is another unused talent that WWE has had for a while now. And since the women's roster has been suffering, why not utilize Nikki Cross? People having a natural enjoyment of her. She's a decent wrestler. She's okay on the stick, but who cares? People love her energy. And now you put her in a situation where people can actually get behind her. I know you want to think that she's just going to go back to catering, but dude, I don't see that at all. I see them trying to do something with her.
Then why have they had such a difficult time to use her up until now?
Because they didn't need her up until now. Okay. They didn't need her up until now. Okay. I mean, we're talking about where we're going into a whole new, it's a whole new year. And after WrestleMania, WWE does this consistently. They recycle old characters and create new ones and see what sticks. It's the same formula that WWE has done since forever. Throw shit against the wall and see what lands. See what crowds get behind. Once those live crowds come in to DT, I think that that's the real test.
Yeah, that's going to be the test. You're right. Absolutely right there. I mean, and I think the fans will react to Nikki Cross. I'll tell you the truth.
So.
It's a shame that they couldn't have done this with Nikki Cross a month from now. Because I wonder how great the reactions would have been the last 4 weeks when she won those couple of matches. Asterix or not, I think those live fans would have popped. She would have got a lot of pops out of this. And now, since we're beyond that, you know, I'm still concerned because I look at the track record. WWE, you know, a couple of years they tried that with Dana Brooke. You know, she's on this winning streak.
Dana Brooke is a different monster.
I know, but I just see repetition.
They've done it before. WWE's done it with people that clearly cannot get a fan base. I think a lot of people genuinely like Nikki Cross. I think they do. I think Nikki Cross falls into that character like a Damian Sandow, where WWE didn't want you to like him, but you ended up liking him anyways. Exactly. Same thing with like a Rusev. Nobody was supposed to like Rusev. He was a heel, but people liked him anyways. Nikki Cross is a mushed mouth woman that was Alexa Bliss's underling. You're not supposed to like her, but people like her anyways, DT. I think there's something special about her, and I think that that's what WWE is banking on when the fans come back in attendance.
I hope so. By the way, before we continue with the Raw recap, what time is it? It's 11:51. So we got about 15 minutes to cover a little bit more. Wanted to throw this out there. I mentioned it on Friday a little bit. And I figured, you know, we just have a little fun with it. I think everyone will get a kick out of this as well. WWE, for a limited time, is doing some cameos with wrestlers. In fact, I think Alexa Bliss today on her social media tonight was advertising that there were only 3 cameos left available for her. So I wanted to post this for you just to see.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wanted to show everybody the prices. And I want to see if there's anybody you would honestly, if you had some extra funds right now, that you disposable income, that you could definitely do at least one of this. Or let's say everybody online put a little bit of funds together for you for birthday, and you could have one of these. I'm curious who, if you would pick anybody. So, by the way, Rhea Ripley was the first to sell out, and for those that are curious, her price was $350. Alexa Bliss is $600. Seth Rollins is $600. Bobby Lashley is $450. Drew McIntyre is $450. Rhea is sold out. Cesaro is $350. Kevin Owens, $500. Sami Zayn, $350. Shawn Michaels, $750. Bianca Belair, $400. Rey Mysterio, $500. Nia Jax, $350. Charlotte Flair, $500. So I say to you, who would you choose? If you could, you had the funds, would you choose any of these? I mean, I think the prices are a little bit steep, but they're designed to be steep. So, you know, you, only the hardcore would select it. But out of that list, the only one that I would seriously consider is Charlotte Flair.
Wow. Same wavelength, brother. Yeah, no, for sure. Charlotte Flair is the only one that I would be interested in. But paying $500 just for a girl to talk to my voicemail for 20 seconds just seems like a very simpy kind of thing to do. Look, I'm not knocking it. I know people love this shit. Like, it makes their day. And to be fair, I've had fans of the show and friends of mine that have purchased cameos for me and Joe on the show before. And we got some laughs, like Enzo and Leo and a few others too. And Lufisto was an amazing one, but as far as paying to see Charlotte Flair, wouldn't you rather just wait in line and pay $50 for an autograph and an 8x10 and actually get to talk to her in person for a couple minutes? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when you really think about weighing this out, how much does an in-person 8x10 and an autograph go for? 50, 70, 100 bucks for Charlotte?
Even 200.
Wouldn't you rather wait there and talk to her for 5 minutes or 4 minutes while she's signing her autograph and have a little back and forth, or signing whatever you want her to sign? Probably not flesh.
I would also, if Sami Zayn actually gave a shit, I probably would dump the $350 just to apologize for last year. But I know you didn't really give a shit. You know, because I got very upset about his comments about Americans, you know, during the COVID and stuff. You know?
Oh, like, he's got to be used to that. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why all I wouldn't dump the $350.
Yeah, all the political backlash that Sammy got as a person. Trust me, you didn't say anything that other people didn't say at the time.
I was just the idiot that decided to voice up about it. Tonight we had Morrison beat Jeff Hardy. 2 minutes. He sprays Jeff Hardy with the drip stick. Miz, yes, kind of, yeah, he gets involved a little bit. You know, this is, again, the 50-50 shit.
Let me throw this out here, though. I mean, because you're already getting into the match. I fucking die laughing at the fact that the Miz is still in a fucking wheelchair and John Morrison is, or Johnny Drip Drip, is running down to the ring and he forgets fucking Miz. I don't know why, man. That shit is making me laugh my ass off.
I love when they do the Morrison intro with the special effects and Miz is wheeling down the... Oh, that's funny, man.
He's just sitting up there like, what the fuck? I'm in a wheelchair, dude. Jesus. And so he's walking him down the ramp.
I hope WWE is not split
like
him up.
They look like such stooges. Like, if I had to compare them to anything from yesteryear, I know this is going to sound probably insulting, but I mean this in the most kindest affectionate way as a wrestling fan. They are the Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe of 2021.
Okay.
I mean that in a heartfelt way, because Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe were fucking hilarious stooges for Vince McMahon, for those of us that remember. I'm not talking about in their individual careers in Canada and the AWA and stuff like that. I'm talking about currently, or their last current time when they were the stooges for Vince McMahon. John Morrison and fucking The Miz, they really remind me of that in a good way, but I could totally see them being stooges for somebody at some point.
Yeah, stooges. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Morrison beats Jeff Hardy. 2 minutes. Cedric comes out during all of this. And after Jeff Hardy loses, you know, Cedric gets on the mic and he's running the bad mouth to Jeff Hardy. You know, Jeff Hardy was a sore winner last week, which I don't know where this was going. you know, Jeff Hardy Cedric used to idolize Jeff Hardy. So they end up having a match, and Jeff Hardy beat Cedric.
Yes. Well, no. They didn't have any match. Well, they had an impromptu retirement match
right
out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. That threw me, dude. I'm like, wait a minute. What? Seriously, when Jeff Hardy's like, dude, if you beat my ass, I'll retire. I'm like, is Jeff Hardy injured?
See, exactly. And you know what's stupid about that? Why wouldn't Adam Pearce immediately just come out and be like, whoa. You know, like Adam Pearce comes out without even any entrance music and interrupts like some of the dumbest segments and things like that. He's in the back. He's stuck in the bathroom. There's no toilet paper and he's got shit on his ass. It's just like, they just do these things. Like, is anybody out there going to really be glued to their seat? And, oh, I'm not changing Raw now. Jeff Hardy, this might be his retirement match. Two minutes later, the match is over.
There's other people. Benjamin's like, dude, I thought Jeff was getting written off TV. It was so impromptu, though. But here's why I thought there was something real behind it. It's so impromptu, and it's such a finite thing to throw out there that if you beat me tonight, I'm going to retire. That's it. That you almost think, is the dude injured? Did he do something wrong? You know, Jeff Hardy has a history. We know this. We don't have to talk about it. Did something happen? Did he piss off the wrong person? Because when you talk about a retirement match with 20 seconds notice, somebody's in trouble. You know what I mean? So, yeah it threw me off because I'm like, oh, fuck. And they want Cedric to get over. So I'm like, oh, what the fuck did Jeff do? Like, literally, I mean, I didn't say anything about it on social media, but that was my immediate response is, this isn't a normal thing that Raw does. Yeah. This isn't a normal thing that WWE does. Retirement matches are not something that WWE even likes to joke about. So it was very interesting that they even did that tonight.
Yeah. The segment with Jeff Hardy trying to give advice to Riddle to listen to Randy Orton was a little bit strange, too. But, you know, it is what it is. I did like the Riddle and Randy Orton match against New Day. I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of variations of that over the last month or so. So, you know, really, you know, it was a quality match. It was 20 minutes of a lot of fun. You know, in the end, you know, Randy Orton with the RKO. And, you know, like you said earlier, Matt Riddle acting like a fanboy, loving it.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah. I think tonight's match was the finale for a while for them. I think now Kofi then goes into the Lashley storyline, Riddle and Randy Orton. Maybe not immediately with AJ Styles and Omos, but I see tonight the directions going. They go in different directions.
A little bit of a break and do some more up, up, down, down. Because now that E3 is here, DT, I'm pretty sure he has 100 videos that he has to make. So.
Rhea Ripley beating Asuka. I don't know, man. I expected Charlotte to distract Rhea Ripley and Asuka getting the countout victory, but we actually get Rhea Ripley with a clean win, then a huge pull apart with Charlotte and Rhea. You know, they're gonna fight at Hell in a Cell.
Don't undersell this. Okay, so it wasn't just a huge pull apart, people. Rhea kicked her in the face and busted her nose. She was bleeding all over the place. They had to mute the audio for what seemed like Charlotte calling her the C word. So I'm pretty sure they were upset with Charlotte for saying that. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure Charlotte was upset at getting her nose broken by Rhea missing her kick or missing her kick.
I mean, Charlotte's outfit was very interesting tonight. To see her brawling with that, like, you know, like I'm just looking at the back of it and I'm like, okay. And I wasn't watching every little bit of it. When I heard the audio go out and I looked up and I saw like her blouse, like the back of, you know, her back being exposed. For some reason I thought, okay, maybe there was like a little bit somewhere that was edited out or something. But then I was like, well, why would the sound be muted? You know? But
she was cussing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought the pull apart was great.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's going to change anybody's minds about wanting to see Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley.
It should.
Well, it should. I mean, you and I are looking forward to it.
Well, I mean, what kind of excitement do you want? You literally have a woman who just kicked another girl in the face, busted her nose, bleeding everywhere. She's getting bleeped on fucking live television because she's cussing her out.
And at one point, we thought Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, but who doesn't want to see these two girls just rip each other's faces off now?
Sure.
You know?
I'll tell you one thing in a second. At one point during the match with her and Asuka, we thought Rhea Ripley kind of inadvertently clocked Asuka in the nose as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, if
maybe,
that legit.
Maybe Rhea's going into business for herself and collecting.
That might be a little recklessness on her part, but let me say this, though.
Could you imagine that? Somebody going into business for themselves in 2021?
Maybe not necessarily in WWE.
Pasteurized, homogenized WWE environment, a woman going into business for herself. I don't know. That's wild to me, man. That's unique.
I'll say this. I think Charlotte was on instinct and adrenaline, and that's why she did what she did. I'm not concerned. Like, I don't think she's going to get any trouble over it. But, in fact, I even think the people in the back were probably like, this is such good shit.
Right. They were having Becky Lynch flashbacks with Nia Jax.
Right.
That's exactly what they were doing. Yeah.
The pay-per-view Sunday, now they have to keep that adrenaline up there. Slowly, like locking up, going to the corner. No, they have to, from the gate, start wailing on each other. Like, they got a brawl. This has to, this match cannot start with a fucking headlock. That was something that we talked about for many years. So they really just set the bar for that match now because of what we saw tonight.
It's fun, and I'm expecting these two girls to start off, like you said, the match with a bang. You kind of have to start it off that way. They've been circling the fish tank for a while now. They're both sharks in their own eyes. I think it's only proper that when they finally meet up on Sunday, that it just, from start to finish, nonstop brawling. You don't need technical moves. You don't need submission moves. You don't need, like, grace. You don't need, you know, flashy substance or, you know what I mean, flash in the pan type moves. You need just two women beating the living shit out of each other. You need to recreate that Ronda Rousey Charlotte Survivor Series 2019 moment where you had two women ripping each other apart. You want Rhea to do well on the WWE roster. You want her to get over. Her and Charlotte need to have the kind of matches that they don't let women have. And that's what's going to be important, especially at a pay-per-view like Hell in a Cell.
One of my favorite matches as a kid, and it was on one of the special Coliseum home videos of WWF. I know it was Grapplers, Grunts, and Gripes or something. It was something like that. It was 3 G's. Yeah. I know it was 3 G's. But there was a match, and I invite anybody out there to go watch it tonight. You will not be disappointed. It was Roddy Piper versus Jimmy Snuka, a Fijian strap match. Now, the match at the very end was shit. Snuka, like, got draped over the top rope and fell over and got, I think, counted out. And it was kind of, the finish was crappy. What I always remember from that match was they had this intense feud, obviously. They had the coconut thing and everything else. But when they had the Fijian strap match, what I always remember from that match is for about 2 or 3 minutes, Piper and Snuka were just staring at each other. There was this frozen look on both their faces. And I remember, I think, Gorilla Monsoon mentioned it. And you just look at them. They're just staring each other down in the corners. And Snuka had this sick smile on his face. Piper started having a smile on his face, and all of a sudden, I remember he walked to the middle of the ring, and then he walked backwards to the corner of the ring again, and he just riled himself up, and he's like, argh! And he ran to the middle of the ring, and they just brawled nonstop. Piper got knocked down, went back to the corner, ran to the middle of the ring again, and snuck him. That match is so instilled in my head. And again, you know, the match itself overall ended up not being spectacular, but that first 5 minutes, the intensity was surreal for me. Got goosebumps.
Well, that's why you can go two ways. When you have an intense feud like that, TV, or DT on TV, there's two ways that you can go. You can do it exactly like you said with Roddy Piper, just this massive charge between him and Snuka going back and forth, just beating on each other, just savagely, no purpose, just wanting to hurt someone. Or you can do the Hulk Hogan and Rock thing where they sit there and they just absorb the audience and they wait. They just fucking wait. And the longer they wait, eventually one of them pounces.
Exactly. I agree. I again, if any of you out there, even on YouTube, it might be on YouTube, just look up Snuka Piper Fijian strap match. Just watch the first 5 minutes, and you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Charlotte and Rhea Ripley have to come out of the gate like that.
Oh yeah,
Jackson Riker beating Elias by count out again to me is just a waste of time.
Yes, that was a low point.
You know, Elias.
There should be more behind this, but dude, I'm. They got to figure out what they're doing with Jackson Riker. Yeah. Elias is fine. You want Elias to be Elias. He doesn't need to change. He's already established. What the fuck are they doing with Jackson Riker? It's almost like one day he's kind of the hero because it's Memorial Day, and then the next day it's like, oh, he's back to being, oh, generic Jackson Riker.
Yeah. Elias will be fine with live crowds returning. Let him tread for another month. When we get live crowds back, Elias will... we'll be fine. I really believe that. But Jackson Riker, though, I just don't see this go. They could pipe in cheers. I don't think it's doing anything. And just seeing Elias backing off and getting counted out of the ring really does not make us want to see them have a match where the, you know, I mean, what is this leading to, a cage match? I don't think anybody wants to see that.
I don't know if you want to do a cage match with those two guys.
No, I think
you can just keep a simple singles match for now. I mean, I don't know what the blow off, I don't know what the Gaga gimmick match will be between them.
Yeah.
But yeah, you need to establish the feud first. You can't just keep throwing two dudes together and having a confused audience as to the reason why. Because right now, it's really kind of a laissez-faire feud between these two. And other. Neither of them are going for a title. Neither of them have any ambitions or goals past this feud. So why isn't this feud like a real reason? Why isn't this feud like a blood feud? Why isn't there something behind this? Like, you insulted my daddy. Now I'm going to whoop your ass. Like, there is nothing behind this that screams to me, this couldn't have been solved with a 20-second phone call.
Exactly.
I don't get it. It's just very generic.
Yeah. We talked about Alexa and Nia already. We talked about Piper Nevin and Naomi already. We had AJ Styles versus Drew McIntyre, which I think the moment the Viking Raiders came out also for some reason. I know they have the tag title match Sunday, but the fact that they came out during that main event, since that main event started at like 10:20 in the evening Eastern with 40 minutes left in Raw, we were like, there's no way that AJ and Drew are going 40 minutes. So what ends up happening is Viking Raiders come out. Drew McIntyre is taking on AJ, and we think that we're going to have a conclusion to the match. And then we get a whole clusterfuck happen. Viking Raiders, Omos, AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley is around at ringside. He goes at it with Drew McIntyre, and just an absolute chaos. We go to commercial break, and you know they're coming back with a six-man tag because there's like 15 minutes still left in the show. We come back, and it's the Viking Raiders and Drew versus AJ, Omos, and Lashley. Lashley is not even there for three quarters in a match because he had to go back and put his wrestling gear on. He's got his women sitting up the rampway, you know, in the lounge chairs. And this match, you know, ends up, you know, the first match ended up in a DQ. Because they attacked Drew McIntyre. And then the second match ends with Drew McIntyre hitting the Claymore on Lashley and getting the win. And I think that kind of seals Drew McIntyre's fate for Sunday because my opinion is no way Drew hits a Claymore on Lashley on Raw, beats him, pins him, and then six days later does the same again. So they go off the air, giving us that suspension of disbelief that Drew may actually pull this off Sunday. I don't see it happening.
Let me ask you something before we go to that conclusion. And this is just a hypothetical. But do you think that Bobby Lashley's biggest enemy is not going to be Drew McIntyre? It's not going to be Kofi.
Don't say MVP.
His biggest enemy is going to be success. I would think that it would be interesting that with all the girls and him taking his time and him getting pampered and getting his nails did and everything else, all of a sudden Bobby Lashley's going to go soft. And because he gets soft, that's how he loses the title. And then maybe we bring back Savage Bobby Lashley.
Well, you know what?
I don't know. I just think it would be interesting because that's another thing that hasn't been done in a very long time as far as storylines go. You have this guy who bit, clawed, beat everybody's ass in order to get the belt. He cheated. Like, he did everything he possibly could. He finally got the belt. Now he's enjoying and sitting on the laurels of his own success. And wouldn't it be funny if there was just like a scene of Bobby Lashley sitting in a Lazy Boy and he's got like chips on his chest and he's got like a bottle of champagne or some wine or something. And MVP just looks at him and goes, "Man, you look like a slob. What's the matter with you? You don't look like no champion." You know, I don't know. I just think it would be interesting that the thing that defeats the WWE champion is the fact that he's the WWE champion.
If Lesnar returns, though, they have to have a monster pull apart. Kind of like
Braun and
Lesnar or Samoa Joe and Lesnar that time.
Yeah.
You know, that Samoa Joe Lesnar pull apart was pretty
fucking
sweet.
What do you think about those rumors? With Joe supposedly showing up on the NXT.
Yeah.
Well, any credence to that?
Well, I actually, by the way, Nero Faye, congrats, my friend. He's going back to his old job. Bye-bye COVID. Awesome. Unfortunately, he didn't win the predictions contest yesterday. We'll announce the winner in a second, but I'm very happy for you, Nero. You know that. Yesterday on the NXT TakeOver recap, I talked about who was going to replace William Regal. And the conversation that we all had yesterday was Samoa Joe or Daniel Bryan. Mm. And now apparently the Samoa Joe returning is happening. Now, I touched on it on a tweet earlier since, you know, I've repealed my anti-social card. Now I'm back on Twitter and I'm only socializing with the people that, you know, that put smiles on my faces. You don't have to kiss my ass either to put a smile on my face. But anyway, I said yesterday that I think what happened with Samoa Joe is simple. We're just getting out of COVID. A lot of promotions lost all their reserves because of COVID. You have a lot of promotions that it's going to take them a long time to rebuild and, you know, get back to where they were before. And with some of these promotions out there, you know, Samoa Joe, as much as we love Samoa Joe and we feel bad the way he was released, I think Samoa Joe realized that there were not greener pastures elsewhere. I think some of the promotions he thought that were going to be extremely interested in bringing them back, I don't think Samoa Joe is top priority on any of their lists. And I think Samoa Joe came to a conclusion. I don't want to name any specific promotions, but I don't want to put words in their mouths, but I think Samoa Joe realized that some of the promotions that he thought that they would open the doors and, you know, start bringing up the idea of some of these fantasy matches, I think he realized they got a lot of other people that they're trying to build and push. And with COVID not completely out of here yet, you know, that kind of expenditure is not something that a lot of promotions wanted to do. And I think Samoa Joe realized that, you know what, even though I want to have a couple of more matches before I retire, this is probably my most secure choice. And hell, I still think that he could be the GM and get into some brawls with some people and maybe have the occasional match, unsanctioned, quote unquote. But I love it if he ends up replacing William Regal as GM. I love it.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I think Samoa Joe has got enough, more than enough personality and character to run with a character, or to be that position. But I would rather have Samoa Joe back in the ring in NXT. Me too. I really would. If it's something feasible, I'm totally down with it. And as far as who would be the better replacement for Regal between Samoa Joe and Daniel Bryan, Daniel Bryan by a milestone. Love Joe, but I'm sorry. I think Daniel Bryan is a better authority type figure than Samoa Joe would be.
You know, I think they should do on NXT tomorrow. I think William Regal should announce, not that he's stepping down, but he's taking a leave of absence. And he's going to have somebody in his place. And then he brings out Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Or, because I think a lot of people forget the history with William Regal and Daniel Bryan. William Regal could bring out Daniel Bryan. And hell, why not get greedy and say, hey, let's have Daniel Bryan and Samoa Joe.
In some Mike capacity. From New York says,
not coaching him.
What about Paige, DT?
not for NXT. Not for NXT.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The only other segment that we really had tonight worth talking about is, you know, Mandy and Dana are doing a photo shoot, and then you hear like people in the ring in the background, and I just thought it was like awful funny, like dumb humor, because Mandy Rose is like, "What's going on over here?" And Mandy just like did gibberish. She just was like, I feel like went on a shirt, and like Dana's like, let's go. And they start walking. Like, it just looks stupid on TV. And they got pissed off at Natty and Tamina because they were distracting their photo shoot.
It was really funny to me. And I'm not shaming or anything like that. But when you put Dana Brooke next to Mandy in a photo shoot, your eyes were veering towards Mandy, not towards Tina. Like, I'm sorry. Mandy Rose is so ridiculously gorgeous that it doesn't matter who's standing next to her. It's going to be very difficult to peel your eyes off of her. Exactly. And having this weird, like, back-to-back dynamic where Mandy's on one side and Dana's on the other was hilarious to me for probably a lot of bad reasons. But I'm sure everybody gets the gag on that without me having to paint it. So
Mandy Rose. Mitch will be doing predictions for Hell in a Cell on Thursday. I'll be doing them on Friday.
Yes.
AEW is returning to Friday again, so there'll be another watch-along. I don't know if any of you are out there aware.
Long Friday for you, dude.
It's going to suck. Oh, I'm in Thunderdome Friday also.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, I'm going to do Thunderdome, then I'm going to do watch-along, then I'm going to do predictions, and then I'm going to recap SmackDown all Friday night. Marathon. AEW's rating, if anybody that's interested, last week it was, what, 462? It went up. Yeah. The week before it was 462. This past Friday, the rating went up. It went up to 487. Again, I write it off Friday night, 10 p.m. to midnight. Not a good time slot.
You know what? States are opening up, DT. That's the excuse
Go back to Wednesday, they'll get back their 800,000.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, Fridays, the reason why there's just so few viewers is states are opening up. There's a lot of festivals going on. There's a lot of live wrestling events people can go to. There's a lot of things to do right now. So the fact that people aren't sitting at home on a Friday night watching AEW really shouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. You should think to yourself, hey, it's nice that wrestling fans are actually leaving their house and doing something for a change, you know? Yeah.
Very quickly, the predictions contest from yesterday, I did tally up all the numbers. Obviously, a lot of people predicted every match correct, as did I. Every match, I don't know if you heard my predictions, Mish, on, when did I do it? Last Wednesday, but at the very end, I said, LA Knight. So I was very happy with that. But so it came out down to the tiebreaker. The match time between Xia Li and Mercedes Martinez was 7 minutes and 40 seconds. And a little drum roll, please. Nia Rolfe. The predictions contest yesterday. You lost. Now, the actual winner Danielson, you are, I look, when I saw you post late last night on YouTube, like, what was the tiebreaker? I knew that you had a feeling that you were going to get it. So your tiebreaker was 9 minutes, 15 seconds, which made you within a minute 35 of the actual match time. So Danielson, you won this. I am not taking it out of the box, but you won this gigantic Johnny
What's
Gargano
in the box?
Autographed plaque. This thing is massive, Mish. I posted pictures last week, a couple of pictures. I did not realize how big this thing was until I got it in the mail. I'll show you a picture of it really quick.
Is it life size?
It's 20 by 24. It looks like this. It's a Triple Crown champion autographed by Johnny Gargano. It's serial number 15 out of 350. And it's big. It's 20 by 24. It's framed. So now I just got to hope Danielson lives within the United States.
So it's almost life size to Johnny Gargano. Right?
Not necessarily.
Did you see on Google what his actual height is? We've been wrong all this time.
Was it 5'6"?
No, it's 6'6". He's 6'6".
6'6". Maybe his ego is 6'6".
210 pounds.
The chicken is back, everybody. The chicken is back. The chicken is back.
Yeah, man.
I choked it yesterday.
Oh, dear Lord. Did you leave the jail rag?
No. By the time I finished the show yesterday, put it online. I mean, I was late, so I want to get some good sleep tonight. Last night, it was funny because I did the Q&A for our members only, and I did Fred Cam for a little while. And he actually freaking fell asleep on the show live. I actually had the cam going and he actually fell asleep, which was cute. It was cute, but you know, it's, I got to catch up on the Z's. So we're at an hour and 15 minutes, which is less than half of a lot of our shows. So, what we will do is if you all want, if you have some comments specifically about Raw, or if you want to ask something about, you know, the pay-per-view, the Samoa Joe rumors, what you thought about Piper Nevin, Eva Marie, you're more than welcome to call in. We just want to let the calls, you know, we don't want to do 15-minute calls tonight because we want to just get through like 15, 20 minutes worth of calls. We'd like to take as many as we can. And Nero Faye, that was very generous of you, my friend. Danielson won, and I won just now. I kind of feel like Eva Marie tonight. You know, even though Danielson won, I won.
Sure.
So Danielson technically was Piper Nevin, and I'm Eva Marie, and I didn't even have to break a sweat. Nier's a good guy, man. Nier, you know, I don't want to out him, but, you know, a lot of you know, he lives in Israel. And, you know, he's right in the middle of crazy-ass turmoil in that area of the world. And, you know, we watch in real time some of the shit that goes on over there. And, you know, I really look out for all of you out there. It doesn't matter where you live in this world. I just wish everybody could get along a little bit more. You know, you just know that, you know, we're not going to be able to change the world, but we can affect our surroundings. You know,
yeah, man.
Anybody you come across, treat them like you want to be treated. It's not hard. You know, I don't understand why people have to really focus so much on political affiliation or gender, sexual orientation, religion, race. It's like, man, just treat people like you want to be treated. You know, I like being able to go to sleep at night with no controversy and no heat.
Treat people like you want to be treated. That means you need a safe word.
I want to be whipped. I want the shit knocked out of me. I want to be spit on and cursed at. Fuck you.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but whips and chains excite me.
Yeah, that's
there. You go, right? Right? Yeah,
exactly. All right, so let's do this. Let's do this. We haven't removed the do not disturb yet, everyone. Yeah, there we go. Let's actually, you know what? I got to do this a little better. Let's do it like this. I know you looked a little bit crunched.
I'm a little bit squishy.
You're a little squishy, yeah. So I'm going to have to fix squishy. Mish's squishiness for a second. So if everyone just bears with me for literally 1 second, let me just – sorry for those on audio only, but that doesn't help. Hold on. This helps. All right, let me fix this. This is call Mish. Oh, none of – okay, mine's not working. My Zoom's not working, so. You know
what? It's all right.
Yeah, or you could kind of like unsquish yourself.
Yeah, or I can just do that.
You could unsquish yourself. Or you know, well, no, I don't. Would that work? No, that wouldn't work. All right, well, okay. Anyway, the number, if you don't pay for a long distance, you could call 225-DON-TONY. Or if you want a toll-free number, it is 833-366-8686. What I will do in a second is lift the do not disturb. Within 5 seconds, we should start getting some calls in here.
Right.
And whatever is on your mind, you know, just also say your name and where you're from. Or just say your name. What's your name? At least, you know, I could like put your name on the screen.
Why are you closed? Yes. Yeah. Tell us your name.
What are you wearing? And you can't say khakis. But yeah, so this way, what we could do is we could actually like put your name on it. See, like on the phone. See, I'm playing around with the graphics a little bit. So if you want to call in, I forgot to take my ringers off. That's okay. Fantastic. That's all right. Yeah. Good evening. You're on. Who is this?
Hey, great. It's great to be on. First time.
Awesome.
I was calling. Yeah, my name's Nick.
Hey, Nick.
I've been calling. I wanted to call in, and like I'm watching Raw. I've been watching Raw for like the past few weeks. I'm like, what's the end goal with Asuka? And I'm a big fan of hers, big fan. And like coming off of last year, where they positioned her in the summer as like a Japanese Becky Lynch, like she was this avenging hero, and she defended her friends and. She was this big star. They've really cooled on her. And then, like, going into after WrestleMania, it's like loss after loss after loss after loss. And I'm like, what's the end goal here? Because she did have her teeth done. She got them fixed. So it's like, what's the point? If you're just going to job her out, can you just give her a vacation? Like,
well, yeah, actually... I'm with you on that. I think Asuka will get some time off. I think once we go back to live crowds, I think she will stick around for some super shows. You know, you'll see some appearances, but I think she will take some time off. I mean, she was one of the MVPs during the COVID era. I mean, there were points during COVID that I remember we talked about how she was the focal point of TV. I mean, when she was teaming with Kairi Sane, they were awesome as well. I just think it's at the point now that she needs to take a step back and allow others to be in that position. The problem is WWE is doing the women's roster on the cheap, and there's not that many women that, you know, can take her place and maybe wrestle part-time and take a loss here and a win over there. I mean, when we heard Eva Marie was debuting, I mean, if you actually look at the women's roster, really the only two people that you could come up with, three, that she would have faced is either Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, or Naomi. So you remove Asuka from TV, somebody needs to fill that role. And until they fix Rhea Ripley's character, make her more of a babyface, Asuka still technically is the biggest babyface on Raw.
Yeah, well, but it's like, why do you have her? What's the point? Like, you have her beaten after loss, but it's like, is there a point? Yes. Is there like some sort of character change, or are you just like burying her to bury her?
No. It's a character change. So she's going to lose. She's going to continue to lose as a baby face, and eventually she'll be taken off of TV. And when she comes back, she'll be a heel. The fans didn't support her. The fans weren't around. Maybe she finds an alliance with somebody else. But no, this is what they do. So she's going to get beaten down as a babyface. People are going to still cheer her. I think she's going to stick around, obviously, until, you know, the fans are coming in into attendance. But I think that's kind of her role. And then she's going to take a break, like DT said. I think that that's the best way. And when she comes back, now you can completely refresh her character. You can make her a heel. And now you can insert her into brand new storylines on the other side.
And here's an idea, too. The draft is going to be in August. So if she sticks around to, let's say, mid-July, and then, you know, late July, and then takes a couple of weeks off, she could be drafted to SmackDown. Yeah. And now you got a whole bunch of new opponents for her.
Let me clarify that. I don't think she's being buried at all. I understand what you mean, why it would look like that, but I don't see them burying her at all. I think WWE is very aware of Asuka's value to the company.
Even as a seller
and as an actual athlete, she brings a lot to the table. So even if WWE isn't like got a boner for her promos and shit like that, she still has so much to offer in different ways, man.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But you bring that up. It's like, even look at her past title reign. Like, after her match with Lana, and I could see this, like, this is when she started to become minimized, like drastically minimized. And then it continued like, oh, the original story was probably going to be Charlotte versus Asuka. Who knows if Asuka was going to get her title, her win back at WrestleMania. But then it was just going to be Lacey Evans. And then it was going to go back to Charlotte. And then it went back to Rhea Ripley. And it's like, it just feels aimless. And it's like, if you guys care, you would actually put a little more stock into her. It feels like window dressing.
Yeah. I mean,
well, let's not pretend that the women's division.
And I'd like to know from you, Mish, as the Kana fan you are, like, I'd like to know your opinion.
Dude, I want her to change. I want her to take a break. I know what she's worth for WWE, and I know that she has a lot more character to give. I really would like to see her aligned with somebody that maybe came up from NXT. Maybe an EO, you know, or something like that, and kind of rekindle that little tag team from the past. That would be interesting to me, especially as heels. So I think there's absolutely value in it, but let's not pretend for a second that the roster isn't broken right now. We're in the rebuilding phase after WrestleMania. I'm sticking to those guns. You know, you see new characters coming out for the women left and right. You see women on NXT kind of hovering the circle of, okay, well, who's going up to the main roster? So there's a lot of change in the air, and I don't think we're at the point yet. I think the draft is really going to be the big marker point when you're going to start seeing people come up from NXT. And I think that Asuka leaving before the draft for like maybe a month and then coming back a month later after the draft, I think that would be good too, because she stayed healthy. She's done everything that she could for WWE. She's done everything that they wanted. She held the belt when they told her to. They got it off of her when they told her to. So as far as a company woman, Asuka's done everything right. And I've never heard a bad word about her in the back. Like, there's nobody that's ever said anything negative online or on social media saying, oh, Asuka's a pain in the ass to deal with. You don't hear that.
No.
So I really think that WWE rewards someone like that, you know?
Well, I really do, because WrestleMania, like, I think in hindsight we can agree Rhea Ripley has had a lot of growing pains. And let's be real here, I think Asuka should have been rewarded that moment.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then you could just have dropped the belt at Backlash.
No, no reason why she can't get a moment next year's WrestleMania or the one after. You know, I honestly, I'd rather have that moment in front of, you know, a much better audience, out of COVID, stronger storyline, and I don't want it just given randomly. So, but, you know, she's got an awesome career in WWE already. She had an awesome career in NXT. And WWE knows her value. It's just right now they want to put her aside and give some others the ball. But, Nick, I want to thank you very much for calling in. Much love, my friend. And, we'll see what happens with Asuka. You know, I think she definitely deserves a little vacation, you know?
Definitely deserves.
Hey, you're on. Who's this? right. Little suggestion for those out there. If you're going to call in, lower the volume on your computer because then it echoes in the background. Trust me, when I used to call in to other people's shows a long time ago, I would do the very same thing. So that's probably something you should do. Good evening. Who is this?
This is Mark Anderson.
Hey, Mark. What's going on?
Hey. Hey, Don Tony.
Yeah.
Glad to talk to you. So I want to talk to you about the what happened between Alexa Bliss and Regina.
Okay.
I mean, that stuff, that really cracked me up. That was hilarious. Like, you know, I don't know if they were going for the scary effect or the comedic effect. That was really funny.
What do you think they're going to, what do you think the end result is? You think that Alexa Bliss is going to keep showing up, or Reginald's going to see Lily and Reginald is going to keep flipping out? By the way, did we see Lily tonight?
No.
No, we didn't see Lily tonight. I think Alexa Bliss said that, Lily's, I don't know, she's, when the crowds are coming back.
Guys got to remember, didn't Shayna fuck up Lily?
Yeah.
So I think Lily is right now recovering. So, yeah, that's what I heard. She's
Shayna messed up Lily, and then you remember last week with the effects and all that crazy stuff with Shayna, with like Shayna in the back. I'm just wondering, you know, because I know you and Don Tony like always talk about it. Like, I wonder what's going to happen when the live crowds come back. All this hocus pocus stuff they're going to do, like that they're doing right now.
Well, now it's sorry to interrupt you. Now it's turning into, what the hell is that called when you, Mish, what do they call that when you go to a doctor? Hypnosis. Now it's turned into hypnosis because hypnosis is all in here. Yeah. It's not visual. It's psychological. So maybe soon, like we'll have, I wouldn't be surprised if Alexa Bliss brings out a voodoo doll of Reginald. And maybe she like hits it with the needle and stuff. And I'd like to see him go to the top rope and do one of these Cirque du Soleil flips and everything. And then she just like twists the ankle and then he just goes, and he just falls off the rope. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something dumb like that.
That would actually look good. That would be interesting. That would actually look interesting.
Yeah.
But do you think they're still going to do these, you know, these kind of like movie type of things like they did with Shayna Baszler last week? Even with the crowds coming back, like, and like, you know, they can do it backstage.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of like doing it, editing it, like, you know, before the show because of in the Thunderdome. Sure. I mean, do you think they're still going to do stuff like that, or?
I do. I think we won't see it as much, but they look, even during the Attitude Era, they would do segments early in the night. I mean, you want to go AJ Styles, Shane McMahon. I mean, those things were pre-recorded. Charlotte Becky and Ronda Rousey. You know, some of those backstage segments, those were all recorded in advance. That's what they'd had, all these different camera shots and this and that. So, yeah, you could still do backstage segments. It's just that they now need to focus on Alexa Bliss out there live in front of people, and they can't do the hocus pocus stuff like before. And I really believe tonight was a test. And that Reginald stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if that changes within 2 weeks. I don't see that sticking around. That just seemed really goofy tonight.
Well, the idea of, you know, when they, you know, sticking like a voodoo doll, I mean, they can actually, like, I mean, they can do that stuff with the live crowds. I mean, they can do some, like, hocus pokey. It doesn't have to, like, not to add anything, but the voodoo doll thing or whatever, they, you know.
Sure.
They can actually do the voodoo doll. Like, you know, like what happened with Reginald tonight, it was a test.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that stuff could actually happen at the live crowds. And, like, I wonder with Lily, like, are we going to see, like, a live version of Lily, like, eventually? Like, like a real character come out of it, or, you know.
No.
Or is it just going to be like a doll?
They got to put some merchandise out there. I mean, I would think that there's enough people out there that would buy some puppets or, and I'm sure that there's some merch already out there, but I think eventually this Lily storyline goes away. And look, for all I know, maybe Bray Wyatt makes a return a lot sooner than we expect, and maybe Bray Wyatt turns his storyline upside down. But I don't think this Lily character will be in the long haul.
Okay, so you think it's going to end eventually, you know, it's going to come to an end. But, I mean, there has to be, like, an end point to it. You know, they can't just, like, end it like that. Now, Bray Wyatt comes back and, you know, gets into the mix and, you know, that can, like, find an end to that. And then the start of, you know, probably Wyatt getting revenge, at Alexa Bliss, you know, what happened.
They gotta bring,
you know, so that can be like an ending point, and then, you know, but I'm just wondering if they're going to end it or, you know, if just Wyatt, you know, he's going to end it or, you know, just going to start with Wyatt coming back and the storyline just, I don't know, you know, turn into a different direction like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, we'll see what happens soon. We're going to have live fans back in a month, and Bray Wyatt, you know, he's a character, and The Fiend is a big character, and I think the fans want to see Bray or The Fiend come back. So I think, you know, they left him off TV a little bit longer, and now with live fans coming back, I think everything breaks loose. But, Mark, I want to thank you very much for calling in, my friend. Definitely don't be a stranger. 833-DON-VMVM or 366-8686. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, Dom Tony, how's it going?
Yeah, not much. What's going on?
I actually had two questions for you. Where do you think we see Drew McIntyre after Hell in a Cell? Like, where do you see going? Like,
I think ultimately he gets drafted to SmackDown, has a little feud with Roman Reigns. I know they teased it a little bit last year, you know, that, you know, that Roman Reigns is the true champion and Drew is the secondary champion. I think Drew McIntyre goes to SmackDown. I think after, who knows, maybe Hell in a Cell, he takes a crazy bump and we don't see Drew McIntyre. I mean, they need Drew for the live crowds, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised if Drew, after a month and a half, gets drafted to SmackDown. I think he'll have an interim feud. Well, if somebody shows up Sunday, anybody but Brock Lesnar, whoever that is, could end up feuding with Drew. And that might be temporarily until we get to SummerSlam. There's got to be a big match somewhere. And then, ultimately, I think Drew McIntyre goes to SmackDown. What do you think, Mish?
I mean, Drew on SmackDown would definitely be necessary for this guy to stay fresh, because if he stays another year in Raw, he's just going to keep remaining in limbo. I understand that WWE owes him because he was the COVID champion, let's not forget. But at the same time, you know what? I think Drew needs some fucking time off. I don't know why people want to keep pushing this guy to the moon and expecting him to keep performing. I think Drew is at the point right now that this guy deserves a few months off to take a break. This guy deserves a little bit off, and then maybe bring him back around the Royal Rumble. Take him out during the draft and bring him back at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
that's
COVID.
What I would think that would be the best. But you know, I don't know. You're right.
And came right back. Came right back from COVID.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, give this guy a fucking break. Look, I'm not even the biggest Drew fan, but they're running this dude ragged. He's constantly in the main event. He's constantly in the title hunt. He's constantly a title holder. Like, everything is focused around Drew. Haven't we learned that overexposure doesn't help anybody? If anything, it hurts them. Remember when Seth Rollins was on our TV 14 hours a week, or what it seemed like? It's just, it didn't help Seth. It didn't help Roman. Doesn't help a lot of people when WWE pushes these guys into the ground. So if I had a choice, if my voice mattered for any fucking thing, I would say that, man, it would be really nice if they gave Drew a little time off, have him maybe enjoy the summer You know what I mean?
You know what?
Enjoy your summer a little bit and then come back refreshed in a brand new storyline on a brand new brand, you know, and do something different.
You know what you could even do? Have Keith Lee show up at Hell in a Cell. Of course, Drew in the match. Have a little feud with Keith Lee and Drew McIntyre for a month or so. And then you do the draft. Just an idea. Random idea.
Sure.
You said you had another question.
My question is, I don't know if you saw, but WWE is going to have tryouts in Vegas before SummerSlam.
Yes.
Like, what is that about? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
They're going to have local people, local wrestlers, not necessarily just in Vegas, but what they're going to do SummerSlam weekend is they're going to have some wrestlers from various indie groups. They're going to get a tryout with WWE. I don't think the tryouts will be open to the public, but they're going to have a bunch of indie talents come in and try to get signed, you know, to the Performance Center. You know, I don't know if I'll talk about it Wednesday a little bit, but you know, the word going around is that the next NXT takeover, because a lot of people were wondering about SummerSlam being on a Saturday this year. Well, now we're finding out that it looks like NXT TakeOver is going to be that Sunday. So TakeOver is actually going to air the day after SummerSlam. So talk about a crazy weekend. They have a lot on their plate for SummerSlam. I mean, it's almost like a WrestleMania. And then you're going to do tryouts on top of it. We'll have some notable names. I think you'll see some notable names, some surprising names show up for these tryouts. But I wouldn't be surprised if a few people already, you know, there's been rumors of some people showing up at the Performance Center here and there. I think some people are being held off for Nevada because WWE really has not been doing many tryouts because of COVID. So that's really all it is. They're just trying to get the next crop of wrestlers that they could possibly bring into NXT or main roster, and you're going to see some notable names appear. But I want to thank you very much for calling in. Two great questions. I tell you, you know, it's really interesting what's going to happen with Drew McIntyre after Hell in a Cell, Mitch, because... And look, for all we know, he could get swerved big time, and he wins the title.
Yeah.
That could happen, so... Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, JG, what's up? It's Scott from New Jersey. How are you guys?
Hey, Scott. What's on your mind?
You know, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. Excuse me. Sure. Now, as far as Lily, I think they might have wrote her off tonight because Alexa actually said that she's in timeout. And I don't know. I know you guys said that they might try to get some merchandise out of her, but I think this is the last that we've seen of Lily. I just kind of wanted your thoughts on that because as far as not getting the merchandise out of her, out of the doll, and, you know, like they did with the Bray Wyatt stuff, the Bray Wyatt puppets, I really thought this was a way to, like, write her off before the live fans. And number two, and I'm going to hang up and I'll let you guys comment, the last feud that Drew McIntyre had that wasn't Bobby Lashley was Randy Orton at last year's Hell in a Cell. I think it's really time for Drew to kind of, I'm over this Bobby Lashley and Drew thing. Yeah. Like, I know you guys have said it, everybody said it. Any chance we see Jinder Mahal on Sunday and kind of pivot Drew from Bobby and go that route and have Drew and Jinder go at it for a little bit. And, you know, I just kind of want your thoughts on that. I appreciate what you guys do, man. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Great questions, man. First of all, I have no problem with Drew McIntyre feuding with Jinder. I don't know how fans would react to watching Hell in a Cell and seeing Jinder Mahal cause Bobby Lashley to win. I mean,
there's no connection. There's no variable for it. Like, there's really nothing other than what, three-man band. I mean, that's about as close as you can get as the connection with that, especially from out of nowhere. And no, Drew's last feud was Sheamus. how can we forget the famous Sheamus Drew matches?
I mean, look, you and I and a lot of people agreed that it felt like this was a bucket list thing, that the two of them were going to have a feud, you know, and we thought they were going to have a one-on-one at a pay-per-view, and I don't think it did happen on a pay-per-view. I wonder if Drew McIntyre possibly starts teaming up with Sheamus. Do you think there's any chance that maybe they start teaming up? Maybe they feud with T-Bar and Mace. Maybe they try to go for a tag title shot.
As far as the tandem tag team goes, there's a little bit of history there to make that worth something. And they've technically been a tag team before. So if you start throwing them into the mix with guys like Omos and AJ and New Day and stuff like that, I think it would work, and it would kind of refresh Drew a little bit and kind of boost Sheamus a little bit. But Sheamus is in the middle of his own thing right now. I don't know if we're going to go to that directly after Hell in a Cell.
And it doesn't look like he's having a match Sunday. That's why they did the count out with Carrillo and Ricochet, because they thought maybe Sheamus would be cleared in time, and he's not. So that match is not happening. But I like Jinder feuding with Drew. I think it's a great idea. I just don't see it happening Sunday. Something else should happen Sunday, and then maybe, you know, maybe we have a mystery person do something Sunday. We don't know who that is, and maybe it gets revealed a week or two later. Let it calm down a little bit, and then they reveal its gender. You know, there's possibilities. Now, Lily, I don't know, Mish. I mean, I know the timeout thing and everything. I just think WWE, there's too much still left on the table with this Lily thing. You know, I mean, Lily just started Alexa Bliss to put revenge on women. I don't think Lily is done yet.
Do you have any idea of how well those Bray Wyatt dolls sold? Do they sell really well, the puppets? So it's more likely than not that the Lily dolls are probably going to end up getting sold too if the Bray Wyatt dolls did so well. Yeah. Is that what we can just, because let's not think of Alexa Bliss and Lily as wrestling characters or as a wrestling gimmick for a moment. Let's think of them as merchandise. And as far as merchandise goes, how far do we think that Alexa Bliss can go with WWE merchandise? Do you think that this thing and stuff like that is worth it?
I could tell you that at one point, Bray Wyatt and all his puppet stuff and those gift boxes they were doing, those collectibles, he was making a killing. And I could honestly say this. I mean, I know on Patreon, you know, we don't do like prize walls anymore. We do cash prizes and everything, but we don't do prize walls. Number one, because most people would, you know, focus on the cash part. Number two, because our Patreon is much smaller than what it was before. But I could tell you that by far, of anybody that people requested prizes from, Bray Wyatt, by far, number one on the list. I had at least five or six people choose the Bray Wyatt puppets as their prize. And the funny thing is, I don't know if it's changed, and I don't even know if anybody even picked up on this, but for about 4 or 5 months, you could not get a Ramblin' Rabbit puppet. I don't know why. If you go, I don't know if WWE Shop has changed it at all, but for about 4 or 5 months, you could only get Huskus the Pig and one other one. I don't remember what. It might have been Mercy the Buzzard. But Ramblin' Rabbit, gone. The Boss, gone. They sold so, and I still have the gift boxes that had like the jar of like the jam, the Ramblin' Rabbit jam. I still have about 6 boxes in my office that I want to give away. I just haven't had a chance to do so. But it was in such demand that I stocked up on Bray Wyatt stuff, and over and over and over and over again, people like, oh, I'll take the puppets. Oh, I'll take the signed cards. Oh, I'll take the puppets. So they will make a lot of money off the Lily character. I don't think it's gone, not by a long shot. You know what we could possibly find out, as dumb as this sounds, this whole timeout thing today, could have been something as simple as that Alexa Bliss flew into Florida and they fucking forgot Lily. Or they didn't have the puppet in the building. As dumb as that sounds, I would not be surprised if we hear somebody report that the reason why Lily was not on Raw tonight was because they forgot to pack the puppet. As dumb as that sounds, they forgot to pack the puppet. Would not be surprised. You know, it would be interesting if Lily disappeared and then we see a vignette with Bray Wyatt in the funhouse, and then you see Lily like in the corner, like tied on a chair with like a gag over her face. That'd be pretty epic, man. Seriously, that's what I would do. I would have Lily missing and Alexa Bliss freaking the fuck out. Like, where is Lily? Where is Lily? And she just is like a mess. And then you just see the Firefly Funhouse thing pop up on the Titantron, and Bray is like, hey, everybody, look, we got a new visitor. And they put the camera on the side, and maybe they do something under the table where the puppet is like, you know, like shaking, and he's got, oh, man, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. But I don't think they would go that deep.
No.
Well, with that said, I think we're done. You know, we stood an extra 15 minutes, you know, sure, with some great convo. You know, as the weeks go by, we will manage the time a little bit better. But we definitely wanted to take some calls tonight. Like I said, I think going forward, we'll keep calls for now Mondays, Thursdays. This way everybody can look forward to it. And, you know, we could trim down the amount of time on Raw and we could focus more on the calls. But look, if any of you out there tried to call in today and couldn't, Thursday night, remember, it's Q&A all night long, AMA all night long. We could take 90 minutes of calls, 2 hours of calls. So you'll definitely have a chance to call in Thursday. And by then, we'll have the NXT announcement. We'll see what goes down on NXT tomorrow. We'll get some additional news on AEW or anything with WWE. So we'll have a lot to talk about on Thursday. But, Mish, any final thoughts before we call it?
No, dude. Enjoyed Raw. Good show. Good calls. Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate the hell out of it. We'll be doing Frank and Gus on Wednesdays. We obviously have Breakfast Soup tomorrow. And then, of course, Thursday's Wrestling Soup for the rundown for Hell in a Cell. If you guys can get a chance to check out our post NXT takeover in your head show or in your house, Jesus Christ.
In your head.
Yeah, no, for sure. Check it out. It's all over Spreaker, iTunes, wherever. Fucking very cool. Heard.
I'll see you guys tomorrow night, 10:05 p.m.
I will see you tomorrow, TT.
Take care, my
friend. Much love, dude. All right, bud.
Be well. All right, everybody. I am going to jet out of here. So before I go, a couple of things. First of all, I definitely do want to...
Like every Monday night, you are checking out Breakfast.
I screwed up. I meant to give a little shout out for our patrons. Yeah, Mish, unfortunately, we're going to have to block you away. What happened to my webcam? Oh, this is just wonderful. I'm like missing now on the screen. I don't know if I could like kind of... Yeah, maybe I could go over there, so... Yeah, I think what happened was I was minimizing boxes before and I accidentally closed my other webcam. I have two webcams. I have the regular camera and I got the little webcam too. When I do Thunderdome on Friday, I'm probably going to use my Logitech webcam. It just looks better. But let me just put this back on the screen. Yeah, that's more like it. But big shout out to our Patreon family. So tomorrow at 10:05 p.m., Mish and I will be on Discord for our patrons. If you want to check out the page, it's patreon.com/DonTony. I just posted there the retro episode that we did back in 2006. A couple of days ago was the 15-year anniversary of ECW One Night Stand, RVD versus John Cena. And I actually had people on Patreon say, dude, you should give this episode to your YouTube channel members. It was that good. You know, it was 15 years ago. So what I announced on Friday for our YouTube channel members is by next week, I should have it set up. I'm opening up a server And what will happen is every month you will have a password, and then you'll have access to a lot of our retro episodes. And then basically every month or every 2 weeks, we'll change the password, and you just could log in and take whatever you want. I will post text synopsises of those old episodes, so you'll know what the content is if you want to go check it out. So we're going to start banging out the retro stuff, because I know a lot of people have been asking for that as well. And thank you, Nir, my friend. I know you mean this wholeheartedly. Message for peace. Absolutely, man. I think the more this virus gets away, I think the happier everybody will be. So, you know, we could just hope, for real. Just hope. My thoughts are with everybody out there, you and everybody. I mean, I see what goes on. That's why I went back to social media. You know, when I got my diagnosis last Saturday and the news wasn't spectacular, you know, I had somebody who wrestles on TV, we will not mention his name, but he reached out to me in a DM and he's like, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" I said, "Okay." He's like, "You get your results?" And the first DM, I said, "No, not yet. I'm supposed to get it today or tomorrow." And then next day I got it. I DM'd him back, got my results, told him what it was. And I said, "Look, I'm just going to focus on everybody that makes me happy. My family, my fiance, all of you, my hobbies, doing the shows, whatever makes me happy, my Lincoln, my LSE." And he's like, "Dude, you should reconsider Twitter." And he's like, "There's so many people on Twitter that are not toxic." He's like, "Just mute, ignore, block the toxic people and just hang out and bullshit with everyone else." And I thought about it and I'm like, you know, it actually is true. So over the last 7 days, I've added over 1,000 followers. So if any of you out there want to follow me on Twitter, at DonTonyD, if you want me to follow you back, just drop me a DM. My DMs are open now. You know, I'm not going to do the Velveteen Dream route. So if you DM me at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're probably not going to get a response from me, even if I'm awake. But, you know, I appreciate Chris, the kind words. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we're just regular people, all of us. You know, we just try to do what we can to make each other happy. You know, it sucks to see, you know, what some people have turned into. But I can only control myself and my surroundings. So I just want to thank you all again for your support. It is humbling. And I know a lot of you out there, it's unwavering. And I know that there's a lot of people out there extremely jealous, not only of, you know, the quality and quantity of the shows, but the vibe. I see all this toxic shit going on, even on, you know, just podcast. I check out some chat rooms. Some people send me an email. "Oh, go check out this transcript. Oh, this person said this about you. Oh, this person showed up here. This person did this." And I look at it and I see all this dopey shit on there. And I'm like, come on, man, you know. There's nothing wrong with laughing once in a while, you know, and, you know, without having to put people down. But look, in the comment section for tonight's show, post your thoughts. What did you think of the Eva Marie troll job tonight? What do you think of Piper Niven? What do you think about other things that went down on Raw, the conversations that we had, even about the wrestlers doing the cameos? Anything that's on your mind, post it, because I do respond to almost everybody. And sometimes it may take me a few days because there's so many responses, but I go through everybody's comments. I see everybody's comments, so I will respond. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. So again, Mish and I will be on Patreon Discord tomorrow night. And then Wednesday I'll be back here. Oh, let me tell you very quickly the schedule this week. Wednesday night Dynamite, 8:05 p.m. like we've done the last 3 weeks. The reason why we're doing 8:05 p.m. on Wednesday and not 10 is because there's no wrestling Wednesday night. So we'll be up here early on Wednesday. We'll talk about NXT, see what happens tomorrow. Big things are supposed to happen. I'll talk a little further about the AEW ratings that came out. We'll talk, you know, some non-WWE stuff. Thursday, I'll be back here for your regular AMA live calls. You'll have plenty of opportunity to call in Thursday. We'll do another contest. I want to make this one, I might do the theme music again. That one we did 2 weeks ago was fabulous. That was just incredible. That was a lot of fun. I tell you the truth, the Austin Theory one last week was a lot of fun too. And then Friday is the big day. Because Friday, I'll be here at 10 o'clock p.m. SmackDown recap, live watch along of AEW Dynamite, Hell in a Cell predictions, and anything else that breaks. AEW this week, I think, is going to be the most solid episode of the last four due to the preemptions. But I don't want to overexert myself with this watch along. And I think what we've done the last 2 weeks, some casual conversation, but talking about other topics too. We don't need to sit here and be like, Hangman Page with the dropkick. Oh, now he's going outside the ring and he shit himself. You know, like, we don't have to get into every little detail of it. But it is fun, though, when we see some of the matches and we predict almost every single move that happens later on in the match. Like, we're like, oh, this will be reversed, and it'll turn into this, and this person will visit. And you see it going down in real time. It's pretty funny. So, but if you didn't check out my recap yesterday of TakeOver, I usually don't do this, but trust me when I tell you, tune in to last night's recap. We had a great, great discussion about Karrion Kross and the way he was used in that main event. The way he was used was very deliberate by WWE. They did an excellent job. And I explain why. Most of those awesome chants, Fight Forever chants that happened in that main event, they all happened while Karrion Kross was laid out during the match. I don't know if anybody noticed that. But don't jump to conclusions. Hear what I say and you'll understand why everything done yesterday. And that was weird yesterday. Did you see that? During my rant yesterday, I said, oh, what are people going to say now? Put Karrion Kross on the Mount Rushmore NXT. Karrion Kross, about a half an hour after my show was done yesterday, he cuts a promo for the social media, and he says, I just put a hole through the Mount Rushmore of NXT. Just coincidence. Trust me, he was not tuning in yesterday night. He had a lot of other things to do, I'm sure. We also had some fun talking about the Grizzled Young Veterans. Soon! That was pretty fun yesterday. I almost wanted to put timestamps just for all the goofy stuff yesterday. I was pretty proud of last night's recap. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. And I'm out of here, everyone. So be well. Have a great night. If you're a part of our Patreon, I will see you tomorrow night. And if not, join me Wednesday night, 8:05 p.m. for Wednesday Night Dynamite. So take care, everyone. Much love. I'll talk to you soon. Oh, I forgot. I get to close out the show the way I usually do now. So, good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.